Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 130 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
Pretty good. We're going to be talking today about sane and satisfying entertaining. And I have to admit that I'm really in the mode for thinking about this because I just wrapped up a Thanksgiving weekend where I visited my family and, you know, ate food and was entertained at someone else's house and just got me kind of in this. I don't know. This is definitely going to be an episode that could apply to any entertaining all year round. But I have to admit, I am now in the holiday. I am in the holiday spirit. And there.
Yes, it's something we have to think about, whether we're the ones entertaining or being entertained. And I used the phrase sane and satisfying. That's something you used to use ages ago on your blog. And it's
I remember.
The perfect little phrase for, like, there's these things that we either have to do or we think we should do as a mom. But you and I are just champions of keeping those things sane and satisfying, meaning don't drive yourself crazy and also make sure it's fun for you. And I think entertaining is no different. So I think we have some fun things to talk about today, and also maybe some tips for if entertaining just seems totally overwhelming or something that only, you know, Instagram stars do.
Right.
That's not necessarily the case. Like, you can have people into your home and throw even a big gathering, and it just doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be picture perfect. So sane and satisfying for the win.
Sane and satisfying. I love it. I'm glad to be reminded of that little phrase. And we should also mention that this is kind of like part one of a two-parter. It's not quite the same. Sometimes we do two-parters where it really is like a sequel. And this one is more like two, you know, similarly themed episodes, one right after the other. So this one's going to be kind of more about entertaining in general, having people over. I want to talk about the traditions that we grew up with around entertaining, because I think that's kind of fun. And then 131 will really focus on that meal and kind of
serving
the prep
the meal.
And cleaning up afterward.
And we're rolling both of these out this week, so you guys get a bonus on Friday. We're just
That's exciting.
Like sharing a lot of podcast love with you guys lately. This is like, you know,
I know this week alone,
a bountiful holiday.
Is it like five episodes this
week?
Yeah,
I think so.
This is silly.
People are like, stop talking, Megan.
That's
and Sarah.
We said we wanted more. We lied. That's enough.
Yeah,
we put our max.
Yeah. So we will have a little bonus for you on Friday of this week. So okay, but first up, let's talk about our favorite Kind bars, which keep us going through the busy season.
Yes.
So. The Kind Snack Club, if you have not heard us talk about it, allows you to get your favorite Kind snacks in the mail once a month, and you can kind of switch out which flavors and customize it. I signed up as a paying customer, and it's just so nice not to have to add that to my grocery list because I was really picky about where I bought my snacks for myself, and also to switch up the flavors. So right now I'm really into the breakfast bars, the peanut butter, dark chocolate chip. Yes, the healthy grains are the ones I'm going for. And then there's a peanut butter breakfast bar that's really good, too. So, I know these are keeping you fueled up at
they
work.
They are.
Too,
and I'm actually kind of challenging myself to take better care of myself because I'm at this new job and I found myself doing silly things like going home on lunch hour to take a shower because I wasn't finding time for it at other times. It's been pretty hairy. And one of the things I'm really trying to do is eat better during my workday and not be so tempted just to run out and pick up something from the drive through because it's close by and I'm busy.
Yeah.
And so Kind bars are definitely helping me with that endeavor. And just kind of it's just something to reach for that's, you know, that's healthy and made of real food and that I can feel good about eating when I'm having a total snack attack. So,
So absolutely. We love them. So the way you can get your free sample box. So the Kind Snack Club, again, is their monthly club. But to get started, you can try 10 snacks for free. And all you do is pay shipping. And so to get that started, you go to kindsnacks.com/mom. So it's kindsnacks.com/MOM. And there you'll have the full details on the Kind Snack Club and also what's in that sampler box, which is so fun to get in the mail. Hide it from your kids because they'll think it's treats for them. And all you do
it's
is pay shipping. So the sampler box is free. You pay the shipping and then you can get all the info about the Kind Snack Club as well. So we're just happy to welcome them back. So thanks to Kind. Okay. Well, I kind of wanted to start out by kind of making the case for entertaining in general as not something to be afraid of or shy away from when you're a mom, especially of little kids. And I wanted to give a shout out to our sister podcast, The Home Hour, because they, as you guys know, if you've been listening, they relaunched last spring. And they have had some really great guests and topics around entertaining that just kind of remind you of why it's important and what kind of, you know, just what kind of things come about when you open up your home to other people. So
yes,
I don't know, maybe we can spend a few minutes just talking, just making a case for it. And I know it's hard. I know it can seem stressful, but I think it's worth it.
It is worth it. And I wanted to say that I went through, you know, we've talked on this episode or on the show kind of a lot lately about how things have changed for me in my house and how for a while I was kind of just, I don't know, in hiding from life and not really entertaining a lot. And that's something I've always loved to do. And so it's been almost a year really since it's been well over a year, actually, since I've really had people over and have entertained with a capital E, or even with a lowercase e, I have to admit. So I've been kind of easing into it lately and had my first bona fide like gathering of people where I made food and I decided to do a baked potato bar because it was just easy and I knew I could do it. And it reminded me of all the things I love about having people over, which is what entertaining is, really having people over. It's the same thing. And the word entertaining sounds kind of scary. And
It sounds like something you could be good or bad at, but you can't really be good or bad at opening your door
having people walk through. When people walk in, you've already succeeded. So just kind of the little rituals that I used to do when I did this more often, you know, checking the drink situation, cleaning up the bathrooms, making sure that I had stuff that everybody could eat or drink, you know, just like all the little things that I used to be really, really, I don't know, just paid attention to, I guess, and enjoyed. I did again. And that felt good. It really felt good. It was really nice. And it was over in like 2 hours. It was a school night. It wasn't like didn't go on and on for hours and hours. I didn't bake a big fancy dinner. I made baked potatoes.
I love it.
There you
go. That's actually great. That's a great type of, later on, I think we'll talk about different types of entertaining you can do. It doesn't always have to be a dinner party, but baked potato bar is a super fun one. I kind of
want to
eat that right now.
You want me to make you a baked potato bar?
Yeah, please. Will you? I also think this really sets a great example for our kids. And I think this could get into an area where if things have to be perfect all the time, we're sort of sending that message like, quick, everybody be on your best behavior. Go clean up your rooms because we're having people over. And I'm not saying you'll never do that because we all do that. But the more you have different types of entertaining options, opening up your home for small gatherings and big gatherings and casual and fancy, I think that really kind of shows our kids what's possible. It shows them that we can focus on what really matters, which is the people walking through the door and not the house being perfect. I think what goes hand in hand with that is this gets easier the more you do it. So if you only do it once a year and it stresses the heck out of you, your kids are going to pick up on like, oh, here we go. Like mom's having people over. Yes. Like this is going to be a nightmare. Or you just make a habit of it and they get to see the fun in that. So if you don't want to do it for you, you know, maybe think about that as what the message it sends to kids and the family as well. I think there's an opportunity there.
That reminds me of something cute Owen said when we were having people over and I was having him vacuum or something. And he said, why do we always, you know, clean so much more when people are coming over? And I said, well, we want them to see, you know, we want the house to be nice for people. And he said, well, isn't it more important that they see the way we really live, Mom? And I said, this is the way we really live when people come over. So it was kind of funny. He like totally had my number on that. And then I said, you know, but there is something kind of nice about pulling everything together and getting it guest ready and just having that be, I don't know, just having a nice, fresh, clean slate. And we've talked before about when you want to clean and you're having trouble getting motivated, have people over.
Yes.
And so there's something nice and I think really fun in the ritual of cleaning for company that feels different than just like, ugh, I have to clean because I don't know, because my house is a disaster.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and you still get to enjoy your home in that spiffed up state. You know,
exactly.
We're in the holidays now and it always lights a little fire under you if you're having some kind of a gathering, but then you get to enjoy it, you know, and you get to, it's still your space. So, I think it's worth it. I think it doesn't have to be perfect or fancy, and hopefully listeners out there will feel challenge to maybe have people over. And maybe some of you are probably doing this already. Katie, who you guys know on the podcast, I feel like Katie entertains all the time. Whenever I ask her what she's doing for a holiday or something, she's always having people over. So I think that can be inspiring too, is just there are people who are just naturally good at, and maybe others of us who have to work
at it a little bit
more at it. Yeah. Okay, so I'm really curious what memories you have of what entertaining was like in your family growing up, because you grew up in a big family and you were the youngest. So I have to figure that like your family was already in the mode of entertaining in the way that they came to entertain by the time you were remembering things. Does that make sense? Like I was a first baby, so those first few years are just about getting your bearings. But by the time you were a kid, things were happening.
They've been doing
house.
It for a while.
Yeah.
And one of the things I think is kind of fun. My mom was very frugal and really liked out of things. So we had been using, by the time I came along, by the time I remember, we had been using the same, the same linens and all that stuff since. And I guess I just don't feel like people swap that stuff out as much then as they do now. Like you didn't go to Target and
to pick up all new,
pick up all new, you know, table linens every year. Right. And so a lot of the stuff, I remember feeling like it was a real throwback, like in the middle of the 80s when I was using my mom's, like very obviously 1964 or whenever she got married, her table linens and serving platters and stuff like that, all stuff that I would probably love now. I do have a few of those pieces still and I think they're awesome, but like very, very mod. And I remember the cleaning. Now, it's hard for me to figure out whether she was doing that, like my memories of her cleaning, whether that was just something she did before people came over or whether it was something that she did all the time. And I just remember it before people came over because it was more notable, maybe.
Yeah.
But and I know we're gonna talk a little more about cleaning in the next episode. But one thing I do remember is that she would always take all the chairs out and line them up, like out of the dining room and line them up in the living room.
Oh.
So she could vacuum and mop. Mm-hmm. And I would pretend it was a train. I do remember that very specifically, like turning the chairs, like lining all the chairs up and pretending it was a train. And then we always got out the good silver and the good dishes that we didn't use, the china that we didn't use any other time of the year. And like the serve and the like the gravy boat and the crystal serving this and that. And that was really for Thanksgiving, Christmas and Easter. Those things got brought out. Now, we also did plenty of just more casual entertaining. And that I just remember adults sitting at the table, usually smoking cigarettes, to be honest. And like, if I really had to be honest, and then the kids just running around, like running amok. And so I don't know, it's like there were definitely different feelings. Like holidays got the white glove treatment. And like, I don't know, casual get togethers were much more similarly, minus the smoking, which we no longer do in our houses or hopefully outside of them. So it was basically more, a lot more like what it looks like now for me and my friends and family, just hanging out, listening
to music. Do you remember your mom getting, like, do you remember feeling like she was busy or like frantic or stressed out, or that it was fun or somewhere in the middle, or do you not remember?
I don't remember her feeling stressed out. I remember her feeling like purposeful. And I do remember that she didn't really ever give me anything meaningful to do in the kitchen, and I would always really want to help her, and she'd give me something really dumb, like mixing the gravy packet,
which didn't need to be done anyway, or whatever. Yeah,
no. Well, I think it did, but like it would have taken, it took me like a half an hour. I just sit there and mix it.
Yeah.
I knew that was the only thing I was going to get to do. So that's one thing. And she actually even mentioned that when I was older, I remember her saying that she wished she hadn't kicked me out of the kitchen as much. But she was just trying to get like dinner on the table, and she really didn't need the help. But I don't remember her feeling, I don't remember getting a feeling from her like she was really stressed or harried. It was just like, people are coming, these are the things that I have to do. I do remember her being in the kitchen like all day before a big meal. It felt like all day to me.
Yeah.
Especially if there was a turkey involved and lots of sides and stuff like that. So, I don't know. What about you?
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of my memories as you're talking, and I was thinking, I feel like, and we've talked about this before, I'm only 2.5 years younger than you, but for all intents and purposes, it's like a 10-year difference because our parents were different ages and I'm the oldest and you're the youngest and all that. I feel like in probably the late 80s, early 90s, when I'm remembering these things, I feel like potlucks maybe were, I don't know. Do you feel like your casual get-togethers had a lot of people bringing stuff? I feel like ours did. So I don't remember. And maybe my mom was just smart and realized, like, there's no point in cooking everything. I mean, it's not necessary if everyone can bring stuff. So I remember a lot of potlucks, like a lot of people bringing stuff, contributing, even at Thanksgiving. We still do Thanksgiving like that when we have larger Thanksgivings with, you know, friends or extended family, everybody brings something. I do remember the plates, like the blue plates that were not, they weren't wedding china, but they were like the nice stoneware that all matched. And I remember tablecloths, and I do remember setting the table. I think that was probably my job. Yeah, and it did probably get me out of the kitchen a little bit too. But I remember thinking it was really special, you know, picking flowers or arranging things how I, you know, I think I was given a good amount of creative license to make a pretty table, or making place cards, even if it was not even Thanksgiving, just a random, you know.
Yeah.
My parents had a lot of, so the house that we moved into when I was about 8 and then lived there for until I graduated high school was fairly big. It was like kind of sprawling and had a really big backyard. So, and my dad in his business at that time had a lot of, you know, people that he could invite over from work. So I do remember a lot of big gatherings, but again, mostly pretty casual, mostly potluck style. So that I don't remember my mom having to like cook an entire meal or have it be that formal like dinner party situation.
Yeah, you know,
does that make
sense?
It's
funny that it's funny that you're asking that, because I honestly, when it's like the casual get-togethers, which was usually local friends or aunts and uncles and cousins and stuff like that, I don't remember anything about the food, which tells me it probably wasn't very noteworthy.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't something that kept my mom really busy. I know we didn't order pizza. My mom just wasn't the type. I don't even know that we had a place where you could order pizza where I lived when I was a kid. But it was probably something like, you know, hot dogs. I don't remember anything about it, which tells me it was probably very, you know, people brought the chips and my mom made the hot dogs or something.
Right.
So the only really meals like my mom was really in the kitchen and, you know, cooking for, I think, were those holiday meals. And another thing that's interesting, I don't remember us having a lot of people over for those meals. Those tended to be just us.
Okay.
And maybe like one relative, or like the year my mom like adopted an elderly woman through the church. Like she was fostered her, I guess.
Yeah.
And she would come over for holidays. And that was always entertaining because she had a really wicked sense of humor and always looked like she was about to drop dead. Like at all moments of the like she would sometimes pretend to drop dead in front of us at the table.
I think you've told me this.
Yes, just to trick us. And she never had her teeth in. I mean, she got us over and over and over again. And I think she just thought it was hilarious. So my brother and I were terrified of this woman. But anyway, it would always be like it would be a guest like that. Like my mom would, you know, kind of take in stray people sometimes. And so we'd end up with this table of like my brother and me and my sister and maybe my other brother before he was off at school. And then it would be like the four of us and my mom and then this rando person. So we kind of like all on our best behavior. But it was
but
not
it wasn't
it usually
huge.
It wasn't big. And it usually also wasn't someone who would have brought something.
Right.
So, yeah, I remember a lot of those interesting, like people just showing up at our table for those holidays. But they were those tended to be much more formal. And the other ones, I think, were just free for all. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? We could have been eating peanut butter toast for all I remember. So,
that's really interesting. Really interesting. Yeah. Well, I thought let's do a little rapid fire. I have a few like questions we can both answer and then we'll take a break and keep going. But these are just some like I think everybody does these things differently. So I'm just going to ask you and we can both, you know, chime in. So if you were going to have a get together bigger than just a couple friends, how would you do invitations? Text, Evite, formal? Have you done any formal invitations
sent a formal invitation that I can recall. Actually, I take that back. One time on a lark, Jen and Missy and I threw like a fancy holiday party. We were so young. They didn't even have kids yet. I think I only had Jacob. And we all like wore fancy clothes. This was pre-text.
Nice.
And no one had, I mean, I had email, but most people didn't use it at that time. So I think we sent handwritten invitations in the mail.
Ooh, fancy.
But usually it would be either a text or maybe a Facebook invite if it was a big enough group.
Okay.
Text more likely. How about you?
I like Evite. I like Evite because of, you know me, I like to manage details and I'm like really anal about communications. And so
the
I like
step of actually having to set the Evite up would probably be the thing that would stop me from using
and
it.
I love it. I could like set Evite invitations up as a hobby, like a side business. That's really weird. So I do like Evite and I like that you can see who's coming and that people can kind of comment and Evite has been around forever, which is kind of cool. And it's really kind of come a long way. So I still use it occasionally. In terms of print invitations, I mean, I think those are so pretty. I got to design some for my sister's baby shower recently, but that's, again, that's the type of thing you would do, a formal invitation. But I would say if I were doing, you know, like a New Year's Eve party or something, I still think there's a time and place for printed invitations. I just haven't, I haven't had much reason to do them in a while, but I do think
they're
fun.
I kind of wish I would have a reason because I really like them.
Yeah.
But I just, I have never. So.
Yeah. And
not,
I feel like
not
people
recently.
People still do them sometimes for kids' birthday parties. Sometimes. I get a lot of those by
e-bike,
too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we've done them. Yeah. We've done them for kids' birthday parties, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then how do you decide who to invite? Do you have those, do you have, like, friend groups where it's, like, they start to overlap, but if you go into the overlap, then you've got to invite, like, that tier? So
I
how
call
do you,
it,
how
like,
do you
the
make...
tier. Yeah, it's the tier system. It's a mess. So you've got your A group, and this sounds terrible, but, you know, you've got your people you hang out with all the time. It's not you like one group better than the other. You just see them more. And then you've got the B group. And it's like, if you invite one person from the B group, you better invite everybody from the B group.
Exactly.
It just keeps going. And then you're getting in the C group because, like, those people know each other. And man,
yeah, it's the
I don't
people
know.
Who know each other. That's the that's where I always get tripped up is, like, I'm pretty good at deciding, like, OK, who, you know, who are we close with, or, like, who's in our circle? But then you get into where, like, someone that you really want to invite is also really good friends with, like, that next tier. And then it's just like a domino effect.
I know.
So do you have
one thing I have done is I've kept most of my them to the A group, I have to say, which is OK, because when you count, like, all the kids and stuff, it's still a lot of people.
Yeah.
And my family is big enough that if I just invite my family, that's a party right there.
Yeah.
So there have been times that I've invited, like, one or two people outside of the main group because I'm kind of hoping they'll become part of the main group.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sometimes that works. And I feel like if it's the right person at the right time for the right event, it's okay. Like, when we used to have those big Halloween parties every year, invariably one or two of the people who would get invited weren't people who we hung out with all the time, but were just people that we'd happened to be spending a lot of time with lately.
Yeah.
And maybe their name came up. I think my, my friends Liz and Lars are really good at this because they have a ton of friends and they're realtors. They know a ton of people.
Right.
And they've just lived here forever. So they really don't, they hardly ever do really formal invitations to stuff. It's just kind of like, you either find out about it or you don't. And it sounds kind of like a mess, but I think it works because then you never have to feel bad that you didn't invite everybody. You just, it's like if you happen to be hanging out with someone the day before and you mention it and they come, cool.
Yeah.
If you don't see them for a while and they miss it, well, you didn't intentionally let them leave them out.
Right. And if and as long as it's like an equal playing field. Like, they do that equally with everyone. So therefore, you're never really getting the slight. Yeah, I was going to say that one tip if it's hard to, like, invite everybody is kind of wait till the last minute with that B and C group and kind of see, like, what things are doing. And then if you do run into them at the soccer field and you've got enough food and space, then you can be like, oh, hey, we're having a few people over if you guys want to join. You know, like,
right.
I feel like some parties that could be awkward with. But sometimes it's just, keeping it.
And sometimes
natural,
it mixes things up a little bit. And especially when, you know, there's like a blossoming friendship happening that hasn't quite hit that, like, we're all besties and we're hanging out all the time.
Right.
Place yet, but has that potential. I kind of feel like that's when you can get a little creative with that. Yeah. And the last minute invitation too doesn't feel like you invited that person 6 weeks ahead of time, but you didn't invite their two best people that are the same.
And
it sounds, it sounds so funny that we're talking about tiers as though we, like, mentally tier our friends. I don't. It's just down to start thinking about who to invite to a party, there's the obvious people and then there's everyone else. And it's
and it doesn't have anything to do with how much you like them or if they're a good person. It's just where the social circles overlap, I think.
Exactly.
I think that makes sense.
And it also helps that I have, like, theater friends, and that's, like, a totally different group than, you know, my mom friends. So sometimes it makes it, like, if you have your work friends, sometimes that makes it a little easier, or you have your people that you do certain things with, then you can kind of throw together an event and only have those people. It's really more associations than it is closeness.
Exactly.
But when people run through lots of different groups, that's where it becomes really tricky.
Well, and we didn't mention this, but it totally depends on what type of party you're having too. I mean, I think there's certain types of parties that are easy to just be the more the merrier, especially if food is not, if you're not serving a bunch of complicated food to every person who walks in the door. And so toward the end of the episode, we'll get into kind of a few different types of parties that are fun to throw. Yeah. But that's another thing that, you know, if it's a sit down dinner or a relatively, you know, a high investment of your time and money, then, you know, keeping the guest list small is totally legit. And if people hear about it or find out about it, it's happened to everybody. And I feel like as long as it's handled with general grace and kindness, it's all okay in the end. Do you have any ways that you handle music or decorating? Do you have any things you love to do and other things that maybe you don't care so much
playlists.
About?
I use Spotify playlists for music, and I totally tailor that to who's coming over and the event to some degree. Decorating, man, I don't know. I feel like that's some place I fall down on. I'm not great. I always like to have a nice fresh tablecloth on and maybe napkins. Thank you. napkins that match the tablecloth. Thank you very much. But I don't know. I'm not very creative. I know you're much more creative with decorating.
When we're talking seasonally, I like to decorate my house seasonally. So the mantle usually looks nice, and I love candles. But in terms of decorating, I actually usually think more functionally. Like if a lot of people are coming over, like where am I going to put the people, and how am I going to arrange things so that the flow works, including like removing pieces of furniture and storing them temporarily in the garage if things are too crowded, or like setting up a table in the backyard for drinks and a bar setup, or kind of getting creative that way. So I don't know. That's not really decorating, but more thinking about like just the flow and where people are going to gather. And I do love Spotify playlists too. My one thing about music at parties is I get a little sensory overloaded. Like I love listening to music nice and loud if I'm listening to music, but I have a hard time with background music that's too loud. That just makes me feel kind of on edge. So I like really low volume on party music, unless it's just like a really kind of crazy wild party, then you can crank it up, I guess. But in general, I'm like a low volume background music.
Well, and there's some music that just lends itself to that really well. Like, you know, my favorite 70s AM soft rock gold type of music is good background music in that way. Because it's kind of it's recognizable, so you can have it weighed down and people still pick up what's happening and you don't have to really listen very closely.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, that's totally true. And then your kids are a little maybe beyond this, but do you have anything that you do to kind of prepare the kids for their role in a party, or like how you get them to help or anything like that?
No, not so much anymore, I guess. I think one thing that has become more of an issue as they've gotten older is like how much are they expected to interact? Is this the kind of thing where they can just hide? Which, you know, for the teenagers, a lot of times it is. Like, they don't want to hang out with my friends necessarily. They need to make an appearance and say hello and be polite and maybe eat. Like, if it's the kind of party where everyone's standing up just eating appetizers, maybe, you know, show your face, eat some apps, say hello to your relatives and go. That's totally fine. Or if it's the kind of thing where we're going to have, like, you know, someone from out of town that never sees them in.
Right.
Like, then how is that expectation a little bit different? Yeah. So that is one thing that has definitely remained the same. Behaviorally, it's not something I have to worry about so much anymore. They kind of know. We've been doing this for so long. They know how to act when people are over. If other kids are over, they know how to act around other kids and that kind of thing.
Yeah. You've made that part training. Of your family culture. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I would just say that this gets so much easier. I mean, it really is hard to have your wits about you and entertain even a casual gathering when you have like a baby, a toddler, and a preschooler. It's really hard. It's hard on you and it's hard on the kids. So you and I did an episode about this once, and I actually wrote a post about it. So I can link that up. But I talked in depth about ways that I tried to make things not so hard on my kids when we were hosting a big gathering. And it's everything from making sure that you're spending some one-on-one time with them before things get crazy, making sure they know what to expect. You know, that's just a big one with kids anyway. But I think even 2 and 3 year olds, and for sure older than that, can sort of have an idea of what to expect, how long it'll last. But it can rock kids' worlds. They have people coming over, if they have other kids coming over that want to play with their toys. I mean, and then you're trying to be pleasant and entertain. Mm-hmm. And that is hard. That's enough to make you want to not do it for a while. But I still think it's worth it. And I think there are some ways you can kind of prepare the kids. I know one of my tips from that post was to kind of use your screen time wisely, because it's tempting to just hand them an iPad or put on a movie. But in my experience, that actually created kids who were just as, because they hadn't really gotten any attention from anyone. They hadn't really engaged with the party that was going on. So it just made them grumpier and didn't actually provide that much relief. So course, I'm all for putting a movie on for the kids if the adults are having some conversation time, but just having some other things to do as well, whether it's like a fun craft or like something. But it does. It requires a little thinking ahead because I think it's hard on little kids to have their their environment disrupted that way.
So. And another thing I want to, I guess, touch on really quick and something that I have to be a lot more mindful about now that I don't have little kids anymore is preparing for people who do have little kids. I have to think about that more than I used to. It used to be we were all in the same boat. We all had little ones. Like I was already there. Now I think I know when I had really young ones, I really liked when hosts would kind of lay down the law right away and let me know what was okay as far as what rooms the kids could go in. I really liked knowing that because then I could communicate that to my kids proactively, like right at the beginning. And I think if you're bashful or shy about that, you end up with something like, you know, the oldest kid's room got busted into and a bunch of their stuff got broken and it wasn't your intention for kids to be in there, but you didn't want to say that. And you thought maybe the parent would just figure that out, and they won't necessarily, they don't know. They're not really necessarily going to know what areas of your house are okay for the kids to be in and what aren't. So I think you can both mention that to the parents and the kids. I'm pretty good about making it clear to kids when they come into my house in a very kind way.
Yeah.
Like where they can be and where they can't.
Yep.
And we're pretty casual about like kids being in my bedroom. I've got the best bathroom in the house. And so often my bedroom door is open during parties. It's right off the kitchen and people can kind of come through and use the bathroom as they want. But like, that doesn't mean that I want the kids playing in my stuff either.
Right.
So there has to be that, you know, that distinction. Another thing that I kind of forgot about for a while, but now I'm going to have to get back in that mode because I have a friend having a baby is like making sure that I know Liz is preggy. Making sure there's like a place for her to change a diaper.
Yeah.
Which is not something I've had to think about in a long time.
Yeah. I have so distinct memories of going over to people's houses when I did have brand new babies. And just thinking it was so thoughtful when they had thought of that, like, oh, here's a place to go breastfeed the baby or change a diaper or, you know, just making sure I knew where everything was. And yes, that is, it's such a nice touch to think about. And that goes for anything. If you have an elderly guest or if you have, you know, anyone with any kind of like special need or situation, I think that type of graciousness is so, it's easy to forget when you're in like the last minute scramble, but it goes a long way to just making guests feel like you have thought about the fact that they'll be coming to your house or whatever their needs may be. So well, that's a good place to segue. We're going to talk about another one of our sponsors and then we're going to move on to some more entertaining tips. But we're welcoming back FabFitFun because their winter box just came out and arrived our houses. FabFitFun, if you don't know what it is, it's a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. So seasonal meaning once a quarter, it's basically like Christmas once a quarter, just for you. It's a mix of fashion stuff. So there was an really cool, beautiful poncho in this winter box that I think might become my wardrobe staple. So beauty stuff, there's always some really nice hand cream or facial moisturizer or a mask.
There's like a
stuff
hair
like
mask
that.
In this one. Yeah. I had the Ahava hand, Ahava mineral hand cream, I think it's called. And I took that with me on Thanksgiving. It was in my purse and everybody was going gaga over it. So it smells wonderful.
These are products, when you add up the total of the box, it's always over $200, often
well
between
$200
and $300. And it retails for $49.99. We're going to also give you a promo code that'll save you $10. But so it's like $300 worth of stuff almost for $50. And it's the type of thing that you're probably not going to pick up in the grocery store or the Target aisle because these are, you know, higher end brands or emerging brands and things that I know, like you and I, as busy moms, are probably not seeking out. So that's my favorite part about it is I feel like we often kind of write ourselves off when it comes to staying on top of fashion trends or the latest brands. And this is like somebody curating that for us and putting it all together in a box. Even the box is pretty. It's so fun to.
It's
so
beautiful.
Fun to
and I have to admit, I'm feeling a little torn. I'm having a little conflict because some of the stuff in this box would be perfect for like hostess gifts and stuff for the
or stocking
season.
Stuff. I thought about that
or
too.
Stocking
and I was
stuffers.
Like, I don't want to give
want
it away.
All. I don't want to give any of them away. It's like I want two so that I can, you know, distribute the contents to my friends and then keep all the rest for myself in the other box. So,
which is why it would make a great gift for a sister or sister-in-law if you wanted to gift it this holiday season or to put it on your own wish list. So We have a coupon code. It's the Mom Hour, and that will save you $10 off your first box when you order at fabfitfun.com. Of course, we'll link all this up in the show notes. And we'll also share some pictures of our favorites on social media. So like I said, the poncho is the BB Dakota poncho. And this is this is probably like an $80. I don't know. I have to look it up, but it's a very nice poncho that just in and of itself would have been more than the value of the box. So it's really a good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Great deal.
Okay. So I thought it might be fun to kind of brainstorm some different types of big gatherings, because I think we all just got through Thanksgiving. We know the winter holidays are coming up, but I think there's a lot of really fun opportunities to have people over that don't have to be the traditional turkey dinner like we talked about, or the more formal affair. So I just made a note of a few, and I know you have hosted some fun things too. So one really fun one that we did once and I want to do again is a progressive dinner. So that does require a few houses hosting, but it's really, really fun. And if you live where you can walk to neighbor's house, the idea is that each home opening itself up would only serve one course. We did it at the holidays, so everybody's home was decorated really beautifully, and everybody only had to make and serve one or maybe two little things, and then everybody progressed from house to house. So that was a really fun way to get your home spiffed up and yet not be staring down the barrel of like a 4 or 5 hour event where everyone was in your home. Does that make sense? So that was
I really want to do progressive dinner. I've been talking about this for years, and I haven't gotten like enough of my friends to all buy in at the same time.
I know. It does require coordinating. It does require coordinating. And I will say, because we all had really little kids when we did it, we got a couple of sitters for all the kids at the last house. And so they were with the kids at the last house where we ended up for dessert. And so we had dessert and like Christmas cookies and stuff with our kids and then took them home.
Fun.
So it was a great way for it to be an adults. It was mostly adults only. Except we all ended up at the house where our kids were with the babysitters.
So the kids were there the whole time.
Kids were there the whole time. The sitters had movies for them. And so we dropped them off there, then kind of worked our way back through the progression and ended up there. So that was a really fun way to do it. Didn't you host a viewing party for a TV show? I think this is another fun way to have
a viewing party for a TV show.
Yeah. Didn't you do it for Outlander?
Oh, for Outlander. Well, actually, technically, Jenna hosted it. But yeah, we both went in together and like all the food, and we did a bunch of Scottish themed food and snacks and decor and stuff like that. That was super fun. And I think the only reason we did it at her house was that she had the subscription to Stars.
You needed to watch it.
Yeah, but that was really, really fun. And I've done stuff like that before, too, where it's like, hey, everyone come over and we're going to binge watch whatever the show is everyone's into right now.
Right.
And there's like going to be a little party around it. And that's kind of fun and informal too.
So
it can be formal. You can have themed food and decor and stuff. And I think we've made party favors. So we really got into the Outlander party, but we've also done ones that were much more informal, and it was like bring, you know, potluck and we'll eat halfway through or whatever.
Yeah. Having something to watch, whether it's a football game or a fight or a show or a movie, kind of takes the emphasis. That sort of is the point of the party. And I think just even psychologically on yourself can take the emphasis off everything else, like having a perfectly clean house or whatever. It's sort of like that's the star of the show. So I think that's, we haven't hosted any. Allison and I used to host like Oscars viewing parties when way before kids, but Brian and I haven't hosted any viewing other than a Super Bowl party a few years ago. So that has to go back on my list because I think that's a fun and easy one. So what about an open house? I see this a lot, like my parents' generation and, you know, people who. So the idea of an open house, not like you're selling your house, not that kind of an open house, but is the whole idea is that it's a short party and people can come anytime in the window and they can kind of come and go whenever. So it's not usually planned around a meal. You often do it around the holidays, but you could just do it for any time. And it can also just be during the day, like come on by. We'll be here. There'll be drinks and food from, you know, 1 to 4 or whatever.
Right.
But I think that's another way to take the pressure off of serving a big meal.
Yes.
If you've just moved, it can, you know, it could be a housewarming type of thing. But anything that you do open house style, I think that term in and of itself takes the pressure off of you're not going to entertain anyone. There's no like structure. There's no thing you have to be there for. So kind of the opposite of a viewing party. And people don't have to feel bad about dropping by for like 20 or 30 minutes. That I kind of like.
Yeah,
because
I like that.
I am someone who gets a little squirmy when I think about the fact that, okay, everybody's coming at 6 and they're going to be here for the long haul. And this is what we're doing tonight. So I think that could be another fun. You might have to have a reason to have an open house party. Like I said, maybe you just moved or whatever, but I think that could be a fun one.
Yeah, that is fun. And I know people who do that kind of informally, like we'll be here, stop by whenever you want. And it does work. I think it allows you to invite more people to like the whole team thing becomes less of an issue.
Exactly. And it's just, I think it's low commitment for both the host and the guest. Like the guest also doesn't have to feel like they have to stay for a ton of time or, you know, whatever. So, okay. So one of my favorites is to host something in your front yard or your driveway and never actually have people into your house. This is about as informal as it gets, but as I think it still counts as entertaining. You know, in my neighborhood, people hang out in their front driveways a lot because we all have really small backyards. And the kids play in the street, and it can be as simple as sending a text to say, I'm going to order pizza at 5 o'clock, you know, have the kids scooter on down, BYOB, and let's have dinner in the driveway tonight. So my neighborhood does this all the time. People will throw movies up on a projector in their driveway, like use the garage door as a screen. We have hosted little neighborhood caroling party the last few years where the kids go door to door to a few houses. And it's my favorite thing to host because nobody comes in my house. I have a bathroom right inside the garage door. So we decorate the garage a little bit, but it's still a garage. Like we put string lights, we put little Christmas lights up and we have folding tables and we put some food out, but that's in the garage. And then people can come in and use the restroom that's right inside the door. And then of course it's not too cold because it's California, and we just hang out in the garage and the driveway. But if you're intimidated by having people over, I mean, that is as low key as you can get. Just
your driveway is always going to be clean, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know.
I love it.
Your front yard faces the busy street. So you can't really have alley parties at your house.
It does. Well, we could have an alley party. It's weird in my neighborhood, at least people in the alley don't get to know each other that well for whatever reason. And there's not a lot of opportunity to mingle in the alley. And they tend to be older people. And for whatever reason, there aren't a lot of kids in my alley. So, but I do know of neighborhoods where the neighbors know each other and do
gather.
Stuff like that in their alley and gather. Just not in this particular neighborhood for whatever reason. But definitely an idea.
An extension of that would be like a block party, and you don't have to, it doesn't have to be like a huge block party, but to just get a few neighbors, if you do like your neighbors or want to get to know them better, and decide to do something out in the block or in the driveway or in the street and meet more neighbors. So I know neighborhoods with cul-de-sacs, and it could be really fun. Okay. So my last couple were just simple. One is to do a breakfast or brunch in the morning. And you guys know that I'm just much better in the morning. So I had one of my birthday gatherings was a breakfast party. A long time ago when I had a little play group of mom friends, we always did our Halloween party in the morning, like on a Saturday morning at a park, just because the kids were rested. They all went to bed so early at night. So just don't forget that the first half of the day can be a fine
also,
time to
host
a gathering.
I've done that a few times, but not as much as I would like. And that's something that I feel like I could do more often and do really well. Like Sundays are really chill days for me. Usually I don't have a lot going on purposely. And like, that would be a perfect time to have a brunch or a breakfast party. And I'm putting that on my to-do list.
Yeah. That one's on your list. And my last one was just to pick a destination. If you don't want to have people to your home for whatever reason, I think it still counts as entertaining to decide to like have a picnic or like a potluck on the beach
or go
to the park. And so sometimes that's just takes one person to decide and it doesn't have to be a birthday party or a special event. It can just be, hey, we're all going to meet up and, you know, bring our picnic lunches and meet up at the beach on this day. And so I think that counts as entertaining because you are the one bringing people together. And that is
absolutely
what counts as entertaining.
Check it off the list. It's your party. Yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully we convinced you guys to entertain in some form.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you happen to be doing some big time entertaining this holiday season, I think you're really going to like the little companion episode to this, which comes out on Friday, which is December 1st. And we're really going to get into the nuts and bolts of hosting a big family meal, especially at the holidays. So we're going to talk about stuff like getting your kitchen ready for that amount of food and, you know, how we prep and how we shop and how we clean. And these are sort of some like more hardcore entertaining nuts and bolts. So I think it'll be kind of a fun companion. But definitely if you have people coming over for, you know, Christmas or during the holidays, you're going to want to listen to that one on Friday. But this has been fun. And everything we talked about will be in the show notes at themomhour.com. And we will see you guys.
There's more of us coming this weekend if you haven't had enough.
Yes, there is more. All right, we'll see you guys soon.